Around Easter time, I was reading the passages in the Gospel of John, those precious words of Jesus prior to his going to the cross. And I came to John chapter 16, and there was a verse that arrested my attention. And I think it's good for us to consider this morning, John chapter 16. And here Jesus, comforting his disciples, gives them some precious words. In verse 22, he says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Jesus spoke about joy, that his followers should have joy. As a minister sitting on the platform, sometimes you wonder about that. You look over the congregation, you say, where's all that joy that Jesus spoke about? Sometimes it's hard to get people to praise the Lord. Sometimes it's hard to get people to rejoice. You ask for testimonies and nobody gets up. And you say, what's going on here? Jesus said that he spoke these things to us that we might have joy, that his joy might remain in us and that our joy may be full. And so some people depend on the music to give them joy. So every song has to be upbeat, has to be the type of music they like, and then they can rejoice and say, that was a great meeting. But you know, Jesus wants our joy to be found in him. Oh, I enjoy good music, and there are some songs I like better than others, and so on. But Jesus, he is to be our source of joy. The fact that he lives within me, the fact that I belong to him, the fact that I know that he is taking good care of me and is working precious things in and through my life ought to give me joy, ought to give me reason to rejoice. When people see me that don't know the Lord, there are some things that ought to be characteristic of my life as a Christian. I ought to be filled with the love of God. They ought to see that difference in those that call themselves by the name of Christ, that we have the love of Christ. It's more than a natural love. It's a love that can break every barrier and reach beyond. We can love those whom naturally we would not be attracted to or want anything to do with, but he fills us with his compassion, and he helps us to show his love in many ways, very practical ways. And then I think that people ought to see joy in us also. I'm sure I mentioned this before. Years ago, we were having special meetings in Canarsie. This is in the days of the Bowers, many years ago. And our next-door neighbors, you know, we come to church every morning and every evening, and our next-door neighbors asked me, who died? I said, the Bowers were elderly, but they were still very much with us. What do you mean, who died? I don't know. Everybody looked so sad when they came out of the church. And I thought, that's not a good testimony. I know that we need to take the things of God very seriously. And I know that, you know, we can't just be happy-go-lucky all the time. But we need to rejoice. We need to take the things of God into our hearts and say, okay, Lord, thank you for your correction. Thank you for instructing us this morning. And thank you that there's grace for me and that these are the things that you're going to accomplish in my life if I'll just trust you. And you'll even help me to do that. So why should I be discouraged? If Jesus is my portion, praise God. And so we need to learn to rejoice more. You'll find that if you yield yourself that way, it's there for you. The Lord will cause the joy bells to ring in your heart. And so we have to say, Lord, I'm not going to be down, let myself be down, and I'm not going to let myself get discouraged, and I'm not going to dwell upon all the troubling things in my life, but I'm going to commit them all to you, and I'm going to rejoice and praise you and know that you are working and that I'm in the best hands that I could possibly be in. And I want people to see the love of Jesus in me. And I want people to see the joy of the Lord in me. A real joy. in the midst of sorrow, that I still have hope, that life isn't over. I didn't throw in the towel, but I can keep going on because I know there's one that goes before me. And so that should make you smile this morning, right? A little bit. Okay, good. We're getting there. Well, that's not what I wanted to talk about, but that was in the passage. But as he goes on here, he says, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. This is John 16:25. But the time comes when I will no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that at that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world, and again I leave the world, and go to the Father. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm going to do something to establish a relationship between you and the Father. You have a relationship with me. I've been with you now these years. You've walked with me, talked with me. We've gotten to know each other. God has revealed certain things about me to you. And we've come to love one another. Well, he always loved us, but we've come to respond to that love. And he said, but I'm going to bring you into that same relationship with your Heavenly Father. And, of course, he's talking about his going to the cross and atoning for our sins and removing the wall of separation between us and God. And then he goes on here, and they said, now you speak plainly. Now we're sure that you know all things, and so on. He said, up till now, you have not had the privilege of coming to the Father in my name. But from now on, you can go to the Father and you can pray right to him in my name. Now, what did he mean by that? We talk about in the name of Jesus, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And I like to think of it when two or three are gathered together because of Jesus. Because of what he has done for us, because of the fact that we belong to him. That's why we come together, because we want to seek him and we want to get filled with him. We've come together because of him, in his name. And he sees that, and he's right there in the midst. He responds to our coming together in his name. And there are other uses of other places in the Bible where it says that in his name. And I'd like to illustrate that for you. I did this on Sunday morning with the little children, and I thought this would be fun to do at camp, so I'll bring it up here. You know, they may forget my sermon, but they're not going to forget this. Okay, here's a hairdryer, obviously. And I brought my ping pong ball with me. Okay, everyone can see that? That's like our prayers. You ever feel like your prayers don't seem to reach very far? You know, often that's because we're praying in our name. We're coming to the Lord, and as we pray, we're reminded of all the ways that we failed the Lord. And so we don't really expect the Lord to hear our prayer. We hope he does. But there's that condemnation that the devil tries to put on us. Maybe we come discouraged because things aren't going the way we had expected. Maybe we're disappointed in different people, or even if we're honest, sometimes we're disappointed that the Lord, that he hasn't done for us what we expected him to. And so we pray in our own name, and we don't seem to get very far. Our prayers don't even reach the ceiling. And then we remember, Jesus said that we can pray in his name. that we can come because of him, because of what he has done for us on Calvary, I can now go to the Father. And so I think about the cross, and I realize that when Jesus died on the cross, he took the blame for the life that I have lived, for the sins that I have committed, but he gave me the credit for the life that he lived. And so that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus, to come clothed in his righteousness, trusting in what he did for me on Calvary. And when I pray in the name of Jesus, something happens. I know you want to see that again. Okay. These are my prayers. Don't even reach the ceiling. But when I... Oh. that didn't sound good. Look good. When I pray in the name of Jesus, it's much better in Canarsie. The ceilings are much higher. But I always get a, ooh. The kids don't expect that. There we go. You get the picture, right? We pray in his name. When people in the Old Testament were told and were instructed to bring a sacrifice to the priest when they had committed sin, they would get the proper sacrifice. They'd bring that lamb to the priest, and we're told that the priest did not examine the person that had come. He examined the lamb. He looked at that animal that was to be sacrificed, and that animal had to be perfect in the sense that it was not to have any blemish. It was supposed to be a lamb. I forget exactly how old. It had to be a male, and so on. And he examined the sacrifice, and if the sacrifice met the criteria, he would accept it and offer that sacrifice in behalf of the person that brought it. You know, when we come to God, we look at ourselves and we say, I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. You ever feel that way? I notice sometimes certain people, they come and they sit in the back of the church. Now, I know you have to do that because you're leaving soon. But they don't feel worthy to... they don't really come expecting God's going to meet them. They didn't do too well that week. Maybe on the way to church they didn't do too well. Maybe they had a big argument in the car or screamed at the kids to get ready and hurry up and so on. You know what goes on sometimes. I don't have too much of a problem. I walk through the door and I'm in church. I go back home the same way. You know, we look at ourselves and we say, well, you know, I'll go through the motions. Maybe God will hear me. Maybe God will do something for me, but I really don't deserve it. And I'll probably sit this one out, try to do better next week, and then I'll expect God to do more for me next time I come. But that's an absolutely wrong attitude. That's the ping pong ball just hovering over the hairdryer. We don't get very far that way. We don't feel as though our prayers really break through. We don't have that confidence. And then we remember, yes, I have failed the Lord, but I'm not coming to the Lord in my name. I'm coming to the Father in the name of Jesus. I'm clothed upon with his righteousness. He provided that for me. I can come just as I am, and I can say, Father, I don't deserve the least of your blessings, but Lord, I don't come in my name. I come in the name of your Son, Jesus. He's this perfect sacrifice. And Father, I come in his name. He's given me that privilege. He's given me that right as his child. And you always hear the prayers of your Son. I'm clothed upon with his righteousness. The life that he lived, he gave me credit for. And the sin that I committed, he took the blame for. And so it's accredited to me for righteousness when I put my trust in Jesus and his salvation. You know, this has been a great help to me, because there have been many times when I have felt that I have failed, that I could have done better, and I'm tempted, why bother pray, or maybe tempted not to expect God to really hear and really answer. I feel so unworthy to praise Him, so unworthy to approach Him. And then the Holy Spirit reminds me, come in the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus died, so that you can come in His name. And so I make a conscious effort to do that. I say, Father, I come in the name of Jesus. And I raise my hands and I worship Him. And I get my eyes off of myself and I get my eyes on the Lamb. And the Lamb is perfect. And I know that the Lamb is accepted of the Father. And that there's an open heaven because of what Jesus has done for me on Calvary. Maybe you need to do that, even today. Maybe you've been at Pilgrim Camp and maybe the blessing of God has not broken through in your life the way you had hoped as of yet. And then you think, well, that's because I wasn't doing this right, or because I messed up here, and I just have to work harder at it. And maybe by the end of first period, if I really work at it, I'll go home with a blessing. But you don't have to wait till the end of first period. You don't have to wait till the end of this meeting. You have to learn to do exactly what Jesus said. He said, up till now, you have not prayed in my name. But now, you can ask the Father yourself, and you can come in my name, and God himself will hear and answer your prayer. I'm going to bring you into your own personal relationship with the Father, just like I have with him. And it's through me that that will be established and is maintained. And I think, what a privilege, what an honor. That means that I can expect God to work in me all the time. That doesn't depend on me, but it depends on my trusting him. Now, some people would say, well, that sounds like you can live any way you want to and then just come in the name of Jesus and everything will be okay. Well, if you have an attitude that I just want to live the way I want to and then just, you know, use the name of Jesus as something to hide behind, well, that's certainly not the way it works. But if we recognize that we're weak and we fail and we can't please God in our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, under the blood, we can be all that God wants us to be. Then we come in that precious name. And that's why the name of Jesus has become so precious to us. And that's why we sing the songs that we did this morning. Precious name, oh how sweet, at the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, and so on. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, has power to free us from sin. And so in the name of Jesus, I can now come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm allowed to come into the throne room of God. My prayers can enter there because of what Jesus has done. And I can have an audience with the Father. I can pour out my heart to him, and he hears me. And he gives me the sense in my soul that although nobody else seems to understand, he does. You know, you try to talk to this person about your problem, they try to understand. But they can't really enter into it. They haven't been there themselves. And then you go to prayer, and you just pour out your heart to God, and you get up from your knees, and you know that he understands, and you know that he's heard you, and you know that he's working to bring about an answer that will glorify him in your life. And so we need to take the name of Jesus with us. Child of sorrow and of woe, it'll joy and comfort give you. Take that name wherever you go. Praise God. And so when I read that passage, I was thinking about Easter and Jesus going to the cross and rising from the dead. And I never took time to consider that, that by doing that, he was clothing me with his name and giving me the honor, the right to come, not in my own righteousness or lack thereof, but in his righteousness. Now, I have a friend that prays. I have a number of friends that pray. And usually at the end of our prayer, we say, in the name of Jesus, amen. I ask these things in the name of Jesus, amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. You've probably heard me do that already. And that's right to do. But my friend, when he prays, I never hear him say that. I don't know that he never does. But when he prays, he just prays. Sometimes he doesn't even say amen. He just is done, you know. And that's striking because most people say amen when they're done praying, or they say, I ask these things in the name of Jesus, amen. But I know by the way he prays that he is praying in the name of Jesus. It's not words that we say. It's an attitude that we come, we approach the Father with. I come to you clothed upon with the righteousness of Jesus himself. Has nothing to do with what I deserve, what I can earn, where when I've done well or whether I've failed, but it has everything to do with Jesus. And that's where my trust is, and that's where my hope is. In nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I've observed in the life of my friend that praying in the name of Jesus is not words that we say only, but it's an attitude of faith where we come to the Father with our eyes on him. Praise God. Let's turn in our white songbooks to Arise, My Soul, Arise. I think that song goes well with this thought. And look for that as we sing. Arise, my soul, arise. 46. Thank you, Brother Paul. Number 46. And let us arise as we sing. Soul and body. Okay. Shall we stand?
Yeah. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety stands. Before the throne, my surety stands. My name is written.
His Spirit answers to the
Now you can see why we have reason to rejoice all the time, because of the name of Jesus, our Savior. Father, teach us to really pray in the name of Jesus. You have given us that privilege, that honor. And Lord, help us to take full advantage of it. Help us to get our eyes off of ourselves, Lord. Help us to not try to approach you on our own merits, Lord, but we pray that we will come in the name of your Son, clothed in his righteousness, trusting that he fulfilled your law perfectly for us. And Father, help us to come right into your throne room and expect you to grant us mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Oh God, put that faith into our hearts. You always hear the prayers of your Son. Jesus accomplished everything necessary to bring us into that relationship with you, Father, Son. And as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord's heart goes out to those that fear him. We thank you today that we can walk in that name. We can pray in that name. We can worship in that name. And so clothe us upon, put your name upon us today, Lord, and clothe us with your very righteousness. We thank you for it, Lord, and we rejoice in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.